Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, April 26th. I'm reading on Thursday, April 30th, 2020. As always, I'll start with the most recent articles in this week's paper and then work my way backwards. Our first article, April 30th, COVID-19 in San Angelo. More than 500 tests administered in 24 hours. More than 500 COVID-19 tests have been administered during the 24 hours between 2 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, according to information provided by the City of San Angelo. One positive test was reported, a Coleman County man in his 60s. It is unknown how the man contracted the disease. His is among 1,833 tests administered in Tom Green County as of 2 p.m. Thursday, April 30th, according to the City of San Angelo. Of those tests, 505 are pending, 1,278 have returned negative, and 50 tests have been positive. Among the positive cases, 44 were tested and reside in Tom Green County. Two county residents were tested in other locations. San Angelo's July 3rd POPs event canceled due to the coronavirus. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic continues to leave its mark, this time canceling one of the city's cherished events, the San Angelo Symphony's annual July 3rd POPs concert and fireworks extravaganza. The safety of the San Angelo Symphony's audience, guest artists, musicians, staff, and volunteers remains our top priority, the symphony said in a news release. Despite the event being a couple of months away, it remains unclear when national, state, and local restrictions on gatherings will be lifted, and it will be safe for large gatherings, the symphony said in its release. It is the first time the event has been canceled during its 70-year history, the release notes. We are saddened to have to cancel this year's performance, said Executive Director Courtney Mahaffey. This is the first time the San Angelo Symphony has had to cancel this longtime patriotic concert, and although we hope that the situation will improve by the time of the event, we do not want to risk bringing large groups of people together while health risks may still exist. The concert and fireworks show is planned to return to the Bill Ayler Sr. Memorial River Stage in 2021. The organization and our musicians look forward to performing this exciting community concert again in 2021. Until then, we wish everyone good health and hope to see you in the concert hall later in the year, said Maestro Hector Guzman. The San Angelo Symphony is a nonprofit organization providing community services and is considered an essential business. The San Angelo Symphony is located inside City Hall, which remains locked to the public. Symphony staff are working remotely from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday and Thursday. Anyone with questions may call 325-658-5877 during those hours. City of San Angelo extends disaster declaration but eases restrictions. Here's what it means, by John Tufts. City Council members met 8:30 a.m. Thursday, where they unanimously approved extending San Angelo's declaration of a local disaster due to the coronavirus outbreak. While the declaration extends the local disaster, some of the stricter guidelines required in the earlier order have been eased. Among them, council decided to reopen the KOA trail to pedestrian traffic beginning Monday, May 4th. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner first announced the local disaster declaration more than a month ago on March 16th, in which the city banned groups of 50 or more people to limit the spread of COVID-19. Officials later placed tighter restrictions on San Angelo residents after voting unanimously to extend the declaration April 1st. Across to City Council's emergency meeting, Thursday, April 30th, at the McNeese Convention Center, was not open to the public and was instead streamed live on the city's YouTube channel. The faces of council members, staff, and health officials could be seen seated in separate offices on Zoom, an online video conferencing app, as part of social distancing efforts to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Here's what the city council decided. Reopen KOA Trail, waive late fees for water utility customers. City Council unanimously voted to extend its declaration of a state of public health emergency for the city of San Angelo due to COVID-19. In doing so, council members enacted new provisions and eased some of its earlier restrictions, which include the following. No itinerant or temporary health permits shall be issued by the city of San Angelo for the duration of this order. All fee increases to take place in fiscal year 2020-2021 under the adopted San Angelo budget policy are hereby postponed and will be reevaluated in accordance with the policy in preparation for the fiscal year 2021-2022 annual budget. The city manager is authorized to enter into any agreements necessary to provide shelter or basic needs related to this declaration. Hillside Drive and Gun Club Road, otherwise known as the KOA Trail, shall reopen to pedestrian traffic beginning Monday, May 4th at 12:01 a.m., and staff is directed to delineate appropriate parking and to place signage prohibiting parking in the right-of-way or on pavement outside the designated parking areas. All late fees for late payments to the water utility shall continue to be waived through May 31st. While the ease in restrictions is a welcome sign for many San Angelo residents, Guntner cautioned people to be mindful about the possible resurgence of the coronavirus. "It's not over yet," Guntner said, "and we need to make sure we're still very significantly aware of the risks out there. We don't want to shut things down again." Restaurants in downtown San Angelo take the lead in reopening economy. After an announcement this week from Governor Greg Abbott to end a nearly four-week stay-at-home order, restaurants across the state are set to reopen as early as Friday. They'll be doing so with limited occupancy and specific guidelines for dine-in service from the Texas Department of State Health Services. The guidelines include protocols for sanitation, social distancing, and recommendations for keeping staff and customers safe. Several restaurants in downtown San Angelo, including Fuentes Cafe, 01 Ale House, and the Angry Cactus, indicated they plan to lead the way in the effort to get the local culinary economy back on its feet. Before bars, hair salons, tattoo parlors, and gyms reopen at some point, restaurants could be a barometer for how the economy rebounds and whether the coronavirus rears up again during the reopening process. Tim Condon, San Angelo Restaurant Association president and executive chef owner of the Angry Cactus, said he and other downtown restaurant owners are working on a strategy for reopening and are continuing to monitor a fluid situation. "The difficulty," Condon said, "was in adjusting to what many are calling the new norm for businesses racked by the pandemic. We are going to slowly open back up with the 25% occupancy and all the standards being put into practice," Condon said. "As the regulations change, we will go back to normal. We are ready to rock and roll. This has been a temporary setback. We have taken the time to invest in our infrastructure. People are not going to take for granted dining rooms anymore. Also, this has really started to develop and cultivate curbside and delivery. Every restaurant can exercise their prerogative on what they are doing, but collectively, we are all staying safe." In addition to other guidelines, the governor's plan includes recommendations for extra sanitation procedures. According to Condon, the procedures are nothing new to the way responsible restaurants already practice in San Angelo. "Safety is the number one thing we have always been focused on," Condon said. "Restaurants, if they are run correctly, have always been focused on sanitation. We always clean and disinfect. We always sanitize surfaces. We always use glove protocol and things of that nature. That's part of the code. It's not like we are changing anything. We've always done that. John Fuentes, owner of Fuentes Cafe downtown, said part of the reopening procedure will involve additional training for staff and adding measures to decrease the level of contact between customers and employees. We want to educate our employees about additional sanitizing and wearing face masks, Fuentes said. We will have handheld modules that we will be working with to have customers pay out instead of going to the register. In case people need to go to the register, we will have sneeze guards installed. It's a big challenge to get everything done in a timely manner to be open by Monday, and then we will go from there. As to when restaurants will open their doors, Condon said the Angry Cactus plans to reopen for dine-in service on Monday, May 4th. Fuentes said he also plans to open Monday. Eric Zobel, owner of 01 Ale House, said his restaurant will offer seating outside according to social distancing guidelines beginning Friday, May 1st, and then go to 25% occupancy indoor seating on Monday. Condon said some restaurants downtown are coordinating their reopenings to facilitate a safe rollout of the process. I think all of us are trying to open at a similar date because we are all part of this culture that's different than anywhere else, Condon said. We have this downtown culture, and we are trying to make sure things are done the right way. We have to be more cautious than ever during this time. We will be wearing masks. We are going to take out some tables and space people apart. We will disinfect the door and the tables. We are doing all the things that are necessary during this time. Condon said the reopening of the Angry Cactus and other downtown restaurants will be in adherence to a document produced by the Texas Restaurant Association called the Texas Restaurant Promise. A copy of the document can be seen at www.txrestaurant.org/Texas-Restaurant-Promise. Cinemark Tinseltown in San Angelo will remain closed despite green light from Abbott, by John Tufts. The show will go on, but not yet for Cinemark Tinseltown in San Angelo. A spokesperson for the local cinema chain said it will remain closed Friday, despite movie theaters getting the green light from Governor Greg Abbott to reopen May 1st as part of his strategy to reinvigorate the Texas economy. On Monday, April 27th, Abbott said movie theaters, restaurants, malls, and some previously non-essential retail stores and businesses in Texas can reopen Friday, but with certain restrictions to limit the resurgence of the coronavirus. Obviously, not all businesses can open at once. A more strategic approach is required to ensure that we don't reopen only to have to close down again, Abbott said. Occupancy at these locations will remain at 25% capacity. Counties with fewer than 5 positive cases of COVID-19 can reopen those businesses at 50% capacity. Officials in Tom Green County reported 44 cases of the coronavirus as of Tuesday, April 28th. None of the Cinemark locations are opening on May 1st, said Elko Aranda, general manager for Cinemark Tinseltown 14 in San Angelo. Cinemark's decision not to reopen yet mirrors Sunset Mall in San Angelo, which announced it would remain closed due to safety concerns. The Standard Times reached out to Icon Cinema, 2020 North Bryant Boulevard, on whether their movie theaters would remain closed Friday, but as of 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, have heard no response. Abbott noted on Monday he is not requiring any businesses to reopen, nor is he requiring Texans who prefer to continue to work from home or stay away from any gathering to now change their behavior. If you want to stay at home, continue to stay at home, he said. On Wednesday, Aranda stated while Cinemark did not have a firm reopening date, its corporate offices planned tentatively to unlock its doors later in the summer. We don't have a set date to reopen, but my understanding is that it will be midsummer per our corporate office, Aranda said. On March 17th, spokesperson Mark Zarandi for Cinemark said this, "The entire Cinemark team cares deeply about our guests, employees, and communities, and we have made the incredible difficult decision to close our U.S. theaters to ensure we are playing our part to slow the spread of coronavirus, COVID-19. Zarandi said all Cinemark theaters will be closed until they believe it is safe, once again, to welcome moviegoers to their auditoriums. We appreciate your many concerns during these truly unprecedented times, and we want to relieve any uncertainties that you may have about your loyalty membership with Cinemark." Zarandi said the company will extend the expiration date for all Cinemark movie theater rewards points to June 30th. Zarandi said that Cinemark will continue to follow guidance from local and national governmental health organizations and will continue to share updates at www.cinemark.com. This is from the opinion portion of the San Angelo Standard-Times, a letter to the editor that was published on Wednesday, April 29th. This letter is by James Stotts of Llano. Reader says cattle industry suffering before COVID-19 because of imported beef. Some U.S. cattle producers have recognized problems with our industry since the 1960s when the Johnson administration introduced imported beef without labeling. West Texas rancher J. Evetts Haley knew it would be the ruination of the domestic cattle industry. "Try telling the tens of thousands of Americans forced out of the cattle business, he was wrong." It has come to pass that some congressmen have awoken to problems in the beef industry, with the packers able to make big dollars off the same stock the producer couldn't buy toilet paper with before the coronavirus hit. Many of us think Senate Bill number 3221 would cure part of the beef producers' problems. It mandates multinational meat packers, the majority are multinational, must buy 50% of their cattle on a cash basis and slaughter within 7 days. This will give something truthful on which to base other buying arrangements. "The associations we are forced to pay our cattle sales tax to and the other globalists have come alive with no, just reduce the cash market to 30%, where we were just a few years ago. And the packers know how to buy low and sell high." One thing to remember with packer songbirds is something we've known all along, but was verified when one man testified during the Pickett versus Tyson trial. He was offered a sweetheart deal of getting paid more. He just couldn't tell anyone, but he refused. These globalists have their work cut out for them, making sure one of the multinational meat packers gets all its fines in home country paid. Brazil's Operation Weak Flesh in 2017 cost packers $3.2 billion, never mind exporting rotten meat. Fraudulent loans cost them $970 million. Then add in Operation Cold Meat and some other deforestation fines. "The U.S. is where they make most of their dollars, as we don't have a country of origin labeling, and they can ratchet down domestic prices with imported beef. Back to the U.S., they spent $8 million lobbying Congress and had USDA fines of $79,000 while cheating American cattle producers out of millions with false weights and $20 million in safety violations fines. It is easy to see who the Cattle Tax Association and all their lackey state associations are representing, along with their global corporate agribusiness friends. Hopefully, 50% cash will be the law, as well as truthfully labeled beef." James Stotts, Llano. Sunset Mall in San Angelo to stay closed Friday, despite Governor Abbott's plan to reopen Texas, by John Tufts. A spokesperson for the Sunset Mall, 4001 Sunset Drive, said it will remain closed Friday, despite attempts from Governor Greg Abbott to restart the Texas economy in phases beginning May 1st. "We want to stoke the Texas economy as much as possible," Abbott told KSAT News of San Antonio. "However, we must do it safely." Abbott's latest orders supersede any mandates from local authorities to curtail business activity in Texas due to the coronavirus, but noted he wasn't requiring businesses to reopen, nor encouraging Texans to leave their homes if they wish to remain there. Officials with the city's only mall have chosen to keep its doors closed for now. "Our top priority is the safety of our shoppers, tenants, and employees. Sunset Mall will not be opening May 1st, said General Manager Sabrina Force. The decision to close the mall came April 1st after San Angelo City Council members voted unanimously to extend San Angelo's declaration of a local disaster. In the declaration, City Council ordered all non-essential businesses and recreational facilities closed, which included shopping malls. Officials with the Sunset Mall in San Angelo made a social media post announcing the mall would remain closed until April 30th unless the city ends the declaration sooner. "We will continue to follow the direction of the CDC and state and local authorities, but for now, Sunset Mall will be closed," the post stated. On Monday, April 27th, Abbott said movie theaters, restaurants, malls, and some previously non-essential retail stores and businesses can reopen Friday, but with certain restrictions. "Occupancy at these locations will remain at 25% capacity. Counties with fewer than 5 positive cases of COVID-19 can reopen those businesses at 50% capacity." Officials in Tom Green County reported 44 cases of the coronavirus as of Tuesday, April 28th. Abbott said businesses like public gyms, hair salons, and tattoo parlors will not reopen until mid-May at the earliest. Force said plans to reopen Sunset Mall are being discussed, and an announcement to reopen will come at a later date. "Plans and preparations to open to the public are underway. As information becomes available, we will update our website at sunsetmall.com, Force said. San Antonio man arrested in connection to San Angelo Walmart theft with employee vests, by Elena Edgen. A San Antonio man has been arrested on 7 charges between 2 counties, including stealing from a San Angelo Walmart while disguised as an employee, according to law enforcement. On Monday, April 20th, 2 men entered a San Angelo Walmart at 610 West 29th Street and took 2 employee vests from an employee-only area of the store. They then took items from around the store while disguised as employees, according to a Facebook post by San Angelo police on April 23rd. Walmart employees told officers that a man entered an area marked with signs stating "Associates Only" and "Personnel Training Office" around 6:30 a.m., according to an arrest affidavit. The man was not an employee. Security footage showed the man leaving the employees-only area wearing an employee vest, then taking items from the store. The man left in a white SUV, according to the affidavit. On April 24th, police learned the suspects had been arrested in Kimball County on unrelated charges, and during the search of their SUV, Kimball County Sheriff's deputies found a blue Walmart employee vest. San Angelo police obtained arrest warrants for the pair. John Taylor Fest, 30, was apprehended Tuesday night by the Texas Department of Public Safety and booked into the Tom Green County Jail on suspicion of burglary of a building and unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. Fest remained in jail in lieu of a $7,500 bond as of 9 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. He also faces charges in Kimball County on suspicion of misdemeanor, evading arrest and detention, unauthorized use of vehicle, possession of a controlled substance, evading arrest with motor vehicle, and fraudulent use of identifying items, according to Kimball County Dispatch. Police are still searching for 30-year-old Austin Bradley Yount, who was identified as the other suspect in the case. Anyone with information about Yount's whereabouts can reach police dispatch at 325-657-4315 or send a direct message to the department's Facebook or Twitter pages. To remain anonymous, text TIPSAPD to 888-777 and follow the prompts. Concho Valley Farmers Market sets opening day for spring 2020 by Rosanna Aguilera. The Concho Valley Farmers Market is opening on Saturday, May 2nd, bringing people together with fresh produce. The vendors, who come from a 75-mile radius around San Angelo, will be selling locally grown seasonal fruits, vegetables, and plants, according to a news release. The market is open from 7 a.m. until sellout, usually around noon every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, at 609 South Oak Street through October. A grand opening sale and celebration will be scheduled in coming weeks. Social distancing rules will be set in place this year in an effort to minimize the spread of COVID-19, according to the release. Vendors will be wearing gloves and masks, and tape will be placed on the ground to help people stay 6 feet apart. Public restrooms will not be open. Initially, the selection will include greens, including spinach, lettuces, and collards, onions, beets, carrots, asparagus, radishes, zucchini, and squash, along with indoor and outdoor plants, pecans, meats, farm fresh eggs, bread, honey, jelly, coffee, and fresh herbs such as basil, thyme, cilantro, parsley, and rosemary. The farmer's market typically charges customers $1 for a bundle or a bowl of produce. It is recommended to bring cash, as some vendors may not accept credit cards. Interested vendors can join the market for $15 or $20, which allows them to set up a stand for $5 or $10 at each sale. For more information, contact Margie Jackson, president of the Concho Valley Farmers Market, at 325-245-3338. San Angelo man arrested after stolen car crashed had warrant for evading arrest. By John Tufts, Colin Murphy, and Elena Edgen. San Angelo police have arrested a man after investigating a three-vehicle crash that left a teen with minor injuries Tuesday, according to a news release. Just before 12:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 28th, an officer investigating a stolen 2017 Honda Civic received a call from the car's owner. The owner, who reported the car missing Sunday, claimed to see their Honda in the parking lot of La Azteca Meat Market, 2028 North Bryant Boulevard, according to the release. The owner was in the location on a hunch after their stolen debit card was used there Monday, records state. The officer saw the Honda in the parking lot and attempted to approach when the driver sped away onto Martin Luther King Drive. The Honda collided with a blue Cadillac and a white pickup while fleeing southbound. The driver ditched the Honda and a foot chase ensued, going through a nearby restaurant and westbound on North Bryant Boulevard, according to the release. The driver of the pickup, a 28-year-old man, followed the driver across Bryant Boulevard and into a field in the 1700 block of Hudson Street. The pickup driver tackled the man and detained him until an officer handcuffed the Honda driver, according to the release. A 16-year-old girl who was a passenger in the Cadillac received treatment at Shannon Medical Center for minor injuries. The Cadillac driver was not injured, according to the release. Officers arrested Landon Beatty, 28, on suspicion of unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, evading arrest and detention with a vehicle, and on foot. He also had a warrant for evading, according to the release. Additional charges could be added pending investigation, according to the release. San Angelo breaks record with 102 degree temperature. More heat in store this weekend. By Rosanna Aguilera. Temperatures hit triple digits Tuesday and are expected for more days this weekend. National Weather Service meteorologist Adam Wiley said San Angelo broke a record Tuesday, April 28th, with a high of 102 degrees around 3 p.m. The previous record was 97, set in 2017. According to National Weather Service, the final high temperature hit 105 degrees between 4 to 5 p.m. Tuesday. This is also the first 100-degree day this year. The first 100-degree day in 2019 was on June 9th. Wiley said, high temperatures are coming early, but it is not an indication that San Angelo will see an unusually hot summer. These temperatures remain in store into next week. Friday will have a high of 97, Saturday a high of 100, Sunday a high of 98, and a high of 99 on Monday. Temperatures could rise to triple digits. This is hot air mass coming, Wiley said. It helps when we have cooler air coming in between. Wednesday will have a high of 83 and Thursday a high of 90. Wiley stated the usual average for April is in the mid-80s, meaning San Angelo is 15 to 20 degrees above normal temperatures for this time of year. Stay hydrated if you are out, Wiley said. This is our first stretch of really hot weather. HEB lifts limits on food items, toilet paper, and paper towels. By Ashley Burns from the Corpus Christi Caller Times. Toilet paper and paper towels are no longer among the list of product limits at HEB stores. HEB initially placed temporary limits on the purchase of certain food and non-food items. All limits on food items have now been lifted, according to a press release from HEB. Non-food items with product limits include acetaminophen, baby wipes, disinfectants, gloves, and masks. HEB previously limited toilet paper to 2 units per transaction and paper towels to 4 units per transaction. Here is a list of HEB product limits. Acetaminophen, 2 items, includes baby, trial, and travel sizes. Baby wipes, 2 items. Disinfecting and antibacterial sprays, 2 items. Disinfecting and antibacterial wipes, 2 items. Trial and travel size disinfecting and antibacterial sprays and wipes, 2 items. Liquid bleach, 2 items. Hand sanitizer, 4 items. Hand soap, 4 items. Aloe vera, 2 items. Hydrogen peroxide, 2 items. Rubbing, isopropyl alcohol and swabs, 2 items. First aid and cleaning gloves, 2 items. Masks, 2 items. HEB will not accept returns on products purchased in anticipation of the coronavirus outbreak, including paper towels, bath tissue, thermometers, analgesics, disinfectants, soap, frozen food, cold allergy medicine, vitamins and supplements, and hand sanitizer. Eagle Scout Project enhances San Angelo's Meadow Creek Park by Roger Havlak, City of San Angelo. At the corner of Ridgecrest Lane and Tabosa Drive, there was a section of Meadow Creek Park with terrible drainage and runoff when it rained, along with little grass due to lack of irrigation. That was the case until Will Foster, a junior at Central High School, approached the City of San Angelo Parks Department and asked if it had any sites or projects he could complete for an Eagle Scout project. In the Boy Scout program, the highest rank available is Eagle Scout, which can only be obtained by performing a project that benefits the community. So when the city staff suggested the Meadow Creek Park project, Foster saw this as a terrific opportunity to create a beautiful yet beneficial landscaping project. It would entail designing a landscape, coordinating a group of volunteers, collecting materials, and working hand-in-hand with the park staff. First, they excavated a small corner of the park and constructed a block retaining wall to hold back all of the soil. They then leveled the planting bed and put in plants that will be low maintenance and appealing. After park staff provided irrigation for the plants with drip irrigation, Foster and a group of volunteers from his Boy Scout troop added the decomposed granite. Mission accomplished. Foster thanked the city of San Angelo for its support and the resources donated to the project. He also thanked Olive's Nursery and Shirts Landscape Company for the donation of plants and Green Sand and Gravel for its help with the decomposed granite. Foster plans to study mechanical engineering at Texas Tech University. San Angelo man facing charges in fight for deputies' lives, given continuance in trial, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man was granted a continuance Monday in a 2018 case that became a fight for deputies' lives, according to court documents. In October 2018, Federico Arroyo Lopez, 39, fought three Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies and attempted to take their weapons while resisting arrest, according to court documents. Though Big Spring State Hospital declared Lopez competent to stand trial, a continuance was granted by 340th District Court Judge Jay Weatherby on Monday, April 27th. Weatherby mentioned some additional medical records were being looked at, which led to the decision. "I'm doing some additional investigation," said Nathan Butler, Lopez's attorney. If the court declares Lopez competent, he could face four felony charges. The State of Texas versus Fidencio Arroyo Lopez. Around 2:10 p.m. October 4th, 2018, deputies with the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office stopped a vehicle near the 3100 block of West Harris Avenue. One of the deputies recognized Lopez, the driver, from a previous encounter and knew he had a felony warrant. After being ordered out of the vehicle, Lopez started to resist arrest and a fight broke out, according to court documents. Lopez punched a deputy multiple times and attempted to take the deputy's firearm. The second deputy had to physically take hold of Lopez's hands to prevent him from shooting the firearm, records state. The first deputy regained control of his firearm, but Lopez continued fighting. Lopez continued punching the second deputy in the abdomen and then grabbed the deputy's genitals and squeezed, according to court documents. A third deputy arrived and deployed his taser on Lopez, but Lopez continued fighting. At one point, Lopez grabbed the third deputy's taser, but the deputies recovered the device and used it on Lopez again. Deputies put Lopez in handcuffs and an ambulance was called in, records state. The deputies had scrapes, bruises, and contusions, but were expected to be okay. David Jones, sheriff at the time, said, "This is the perfect example of a seemingly routine call which escalated to a struggle for officers' lives," in a previous release. Deputies booked Lopez into the Tom Green County Jail on October 4th, 2018. An indictment filed December 5th, 2018, charged him on suspicion of two counts of assault on a peace officer and two counts of attempting to take an officer's weapon. His charges were enhanced due to first-degree felonies due to prior felony convictions. He was released to another agency on November 13th, 2019, according to online jail records. Tom Green County Sheriff's Office warns of scam calls from Sergeant Impersonator, by Rosanna Aguilera. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office received reports of someone posing as a Tom Green County Sheriff's Office sergeant, according to a Facebook post. The caller uses the name Ian Rook and states they are an employee with the Sheriff's Office. They are calling residents to tell them they need to contact him due to an urgent matter. The phone number being used is 325-261-5595 and is not associated with any member of the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, according to the Post. If you are contacted in any manner and have questions about the person who works for the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, call 325-655-8111 for more information. San Angelo Regional Airport weathers the coronavirus storm, by Colin Murphy. With up to a 95% drop in commercial air traffic across the country due to the coronavirus, airlines and airports have seen revenues take a nosedive in the past several weeks. But with a diversified business model, the San Angelo Regional Airport has been largely insulated from the economic woes suffered by other aviation facilities, officials said. According to Airport Director Jeremy Valgardson, the airport generates revenue from several other aspects of the aviation industry, including military aircraft traffic, non-commercial general aviation, and other businesses. This model prevents the facility from being subject to revenue from commercial airline traffic that plummeted as the coronavirus pandemic spread. You have to look all the way up and down the runway, Valgardson said. We have businesses from as far north as you can go to as far south as you can go, and they all play a role in our financial success. The airline portion is nearly closed. We had two people fly out today on a jet that holds 75 people, but we still have all these other businesses still open that are considered essential. Valgardson said he expects the airport to play a vital role in rebuilding the local economy once concerns about the coronavirus subside and life starts to return to normal for the community. We have a lot of indirect benefit to the city, Valgardson said. The money that we generate here at the airport stays at the airport. We pay our own expenses, and in return, we don't ask the city to pay for any of our stuff other than some large capital projects that we eventually reimburse back to the city. The benefit to having all these companies that are still operational is the indirect benefit. They are still buying food in our communities and bringing in executives that stay in our hotels and eat at our restaurants through takeout. They are spending dollars that are generated through the airport. The San Angelo Regional Airport will receive $1.2 million in assistance from the CARES Act Fund. The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act was passed by Congress to address the economic crisis due to the coronavirus. Valgardson said the money will be put to use in a variety of ways. It's not my decision. It will be the City Council's decision. But what we intend to use it for is to offset our operating expenses, Valgardson said. We are not receiving fuel revenue, airline revenue, or rental car and concession revenue. We don't know how the public is going to respond once everything opens back up and travel is no longer restricted or limited. The airlines were thriving. They went from extreme profits to extreme losses, so we are going to be extremely cautious. Despite the loss of revenue from commercial airline travel, Valgardson said the San Angelo Regional Airport has not had to lay off or furlough workers. Valgardson said thanks to a diversified business model and assistance from the CARES Act, the interruption in operations due to the coronavirus is not expected to hamper the financial sustainability of the airport. We are pretty confident that if we get our fuel sales revenue back to where it was and all of our losses are just here in the terminal, we are in good shape, Valgardson said. Lots of airports put all their eggs in the commercial service basket. The loss of revenue doesn't kill us. If we didn't receive another payment because of COVID-19, with the CARES Act money, we could operate for 14 months. It was much needed. Affidavit says Carlsbad man sexually assaults teen several times, released nearly 5 hours later, by Elena Edgen. A Carlsbad man has been arrested after a child made an outcry of sexual abuse, according to an arrest affidavit. On April 15th, 2020, A 16-year-old reported to Child Protective Services they had been sexually abused on 3 days between March 30th and April 8th, court records indicate. 3 mornings in a row, the man inappropriately touched the teen. On the third morning, he sexually assaulted the teen, according to the affidavit. Jacob Andrew Farrow, 39, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of sexual assault on a prohibited purported spouse. He was released nearly 5 hours later on a $50,000 bond, according to jail records. The charge of sexual assault on a prohibited purported spouse involves a case in which someone sexually assaults a person they were not allowed to marry, claim to marry, or live together under the appearance of being married, according to the Texas Penal Code. It is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Farrow was previously convicted on 2 misdemeanor assault causes bodily injury and felony injury to a child in 2017, according to the affidavit. Asian cuisine restaurant coming to San Angelo during summer 2020 by Rosanna Aguilera. An Asian cuisine restaurant is opening this summer in San Angelo. Faux Saigon owners Danny Quach and Lam Nguyen decided to bring their food to San Angelo for many reasons. There is a good population here, and Asian food is a big food trend right now, Quach said. The restaurant is shooting for a June 1st opening. We aren't sure on a date yet with all the COVID-19 stuff going on, Quach said. We are still going to start with curbside and delivery service by then. San Angelo To Go has already become a delivery partner with Faux Saigon. Food on the menu will include salad, sandwiches, rolls, faux bowls, stir fry, boba teas, smoothies, vegetarian, and kids menus, and more. Faux Saigon is moving into the former Roosters building at 2001 West Harris Avenue, which closed Friday, November 1st, 2019. For more information, call the restaurant at 833-772-4466. Stango's Italian restaurant won't happen for downtown San Angelo, owner announces, by staff reports. An anticipated Italian restaurant offering in downtown San Angelo won't happen after all, according to a Facebook post from the eatery's owner. Steve Stango, owner of Stango's Coffee Shop at 221 South Chadburn Street, purchased property at 208 Oak Street in June 2019 with plans to open Stango's Fine Italian Dining. But on Saturday, April 25th, with the coronavirus pandemic's closure 6 weeks in, along with other challenges, Stango pulled the plug on the project. I have decided not to open that location due to having a chef problem and then the shutdown of everything, a Facebook post states. I believe there are reasons for why things happen, and I am just going to stay focused on keeping Stango's coffee shop open, which is going to be tough. We all are going to be having it tough. Stango said the building is ready for a new owner or renter and said anyone interested should reach out. It came out really nice, and I believe will be a great location for someone, the post states. San Angelo woman arrested after dollar store employee assaulted with knife, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo woman has been arrested after police said she knocked things off shelves and assaulted a store employee, according to a news release from San Angelo police. Around 12:30 p.m. Friday, April 24th, police responded to an assault at the Family Dollar Store, 3013 North Chadburn Street, according to the release. The woman had left before officers arrived. The woman had been knocking things off shelves when an employee approached her and an argument ensued. She attempted to grab the employee, a 29-year-old woman, by the neck, according to the arrest affidavit. At one point, she pulled out a knife and hit the employee while making threatening statements. The employee was trying to get the woman to leave the store and was not injured, records state. Officers found the woman in the 100 block of South Emmerich Street with help from city marshals. During the arrest, the woman grew agitated and advanced toward an officer, according to the release. The knife from the fight at the store was found in her purse, the release states. Police arrested Yolanda Garcia Sanchez, also known by the last name McGowan, on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. She remained in Tom Green County Jail with bond listed at $25,000 at 9:45 a.m. Monday. Event planned to feed homeless in honor of Lacey Connell's one-year passing anniversary by Rosanna Aguilera. Those who love Lacey Connell are committed to continuing the mission she started with an email the day before she was killed in a vehicle crash. Sunday marks 1 year since Connell passed away in a vehicle crash at age 29 on State Highway 158, 7 miles east of Midland. The day before the crash, she had emailed San Angelo chef Richard Lopez about an idea to cook food for the homeless, and Lacey's first annual Feed the Need Memorial took place August 19, 2019. Richie Hibachi on the Go cooked hibachi chicken, vegetables, and fried rice, just as Connell requested. On Sunday, April 26th, friends and family have again planned an event to feed the homeless in her honor. Richie's Hibachi will be feeding people in need from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Sunday at Wesley United Methodist Church, 301 West 18th Street. Connell's friend of 5 years, Candace Martinez, said they want to help others the way her friend wanted. "It's everything she would have wanted. She was a giving soul," Martinez said. "She would give you the shirt off of her back if you needed it." Connell's son, Dax, who turned 2 years old September 27, 2019, will be taken to his mother's resting place Sunday, where friends and family will release balloons to remember her. "He's so full of life, just like his mom was," Dax's grandmother, Amy Contreras, said. Contreras said they keep Connell's memory alive with photos and video and hope Dax will remember his mom for the giving person she was. "She loved to give. That's just who she was," Contreras said. "It's been a struggle this year, but we will keep her memory alive." Sitel in San Angelo to hire 150-plus work-at-home jobs in coming weeks, by Jen Guadarrama. Sitel Group announced it will begin hiring more than 150 associates immediately to support client growth in its San Angelo location. All employees will have the opportunity to work from home and support some of Sitel Group's largest insurance and financial services clients, a company news release states. Interested applicants should visit jobs.sitel.com and enter the keyword San Angelo to begin the application process. Interviews will be conducted by video conference. Communities are being impacted because of coronavirus, and it's putting hardworking people out of work, said Susan Spencer, site director at Sitel San Angelo. "These newly created positions are part of our clients' growing demands for customer support during these unprecedented times." In the past 2 weeks, Sitel San Angelo has moved quickly to transition over 80% of its existing workforce to work-from-home positions as part of the rapid deployment of business continuity plans. The 150-plus positions are new, permanent, work-from-home positions that offer career development, full benefits, and world-class virtual training. "As we continue to work through these challenging times, we will continue to keep the well-being and safety of our people our number one priority. We can provide nearby talent with an opportunity to join a great company, earn an income without risking their health, and possibly build a career," said Spencer. Sitel Group's 80,000 people across the globe connect many of the world's best-known brands with their customers 3.5 million times every day. Learn more at www.sitel.com and connect on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Police say man with 23 warrants claimed to have coronavirus coughed on San Angelo officer by Elena Edgen. A man has been arrested after he pretended to have coronavirus and coughed on a San Angelo officer while being arrested on 23 warrants, according to a police news release. On Wednesday, April 22nd, police arrived in the 900 block of Shiloh Street in response to a domestic disturbance. Officers found an intoxicated man in the parking lot yelling at a woman on the second floor of the apartment complex, according to the release. Officers took the man into custody, and during transport, the man told the officers he had been sick for over a week with the coronavirus. The officer, concerned about exposure to himself and those at the jail, transported the man to Shannon Medical Center, records state. While waiting on medical evaluation, the man coughed on the officer repeatedly. Medical personnel evaluated the man and stated he was not displaying COVID-related symptoms. The man then became hysterically aggressive and a struggle ensued, according to the affidavit. Officers had to use a restraint on the man's legs to stop him from kicking the patrol unit's windows out. He continued to be combative, and jail officials had to secure Ramirez in a restraint chair, according to the affidavit. The officer remains symptom-free and is being monitored, according to the release. Police arrested Chad Ramirez, 27, on suspicion of harassment of a public servant, possession of marijuana, possession of controlled substance, public intoxication, resisting arrest, transport, and possession of drug paraphernalia. He also had 23 warrants. Ramirez remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $32,848 bond as of 4:45 p.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Officers have been evaluating people for the coronavirus before booking them into jail. San Angelo police also stated that anyone who claims they are trying to give the virus to another person could face criminal charges, according to the release. Members of the San Angelo Police Department have their temperatures checked before starting each shift and before entering police headquarters, according to the release. Body believed to be missing Cristoval woman found in wooded area, says Jasper Sheriff, by Elena Edgen. A body believed to be missing Cristoval woman, Annabelle Anna Bruton, has been discovered near the Louisiana border, according to a news release from the Jasper County Sheriff's Office. Gina Bruton, Anna's mother, confirmed that the body was her 29-year-old daughter in a Facebook message. "Today we received the news no parent wants to receive," Gina Bruton said in a Facebook post. "Thank you to everyone that supported us, prayed for us, shared the posts, and helped in trying to locate Anna. Please continue to pray for our family, especially Anna's children." On Thursday, April 16th, officials found what they believed to be the body of Bruton in a wooded area near where she was last seen, according to the Jasper County Sheriff's Office. While officials said they believed the body was Bruton, it has not been positively identified at this time, the release stated. The body was discovered while Jasper County Sheriff's Office investigators searched a wooded area 200 yards east of Farm to Market 252 outside of Kirbyville, Texas, according to the release. This location is the same area where missing person Annabelle Bruton was last seen in February, the release stated. There was no evidence located that would suggest foul play was involved. It will remain under investigation pending the positive identification of the body located. Officials said the Jasper County Sheriff's Office, Texas Rangers, and Justice of the Peace, Mike Smith, requested an autopsy by the Jefferson County Morgue. What we know. On February 26th, Anna and her boyfriend of 8 months, Rodney Blankenship, were visiting his family in Kirbyville, a town roughly 130 miles northeast of Houston, with a population of about 2,500. Law enforcement say Blankenship was the last person to see Anna alive. she reportedly left his vehicle, leaving her suitcase and other personal items, and ran into the nearby wooded area off of Farm to Market 252. 2 days later, her family filed a missing persons report. Her parents, Gina and Vernon Bruton, flew in to scour the area in search of their daughter. Their last contact with Anna came from a phone call February 26th to her father. She was crying, according to Gina Bruton. To not hear from her in over 30 days is just uncharacteristic of Anna, she said in a previous interview. None of this makes any sense. In early March, the family and investigators found some clues about Anna's disappearance. We received an anonymous call March 4th that she was beat up pretty bad before she went missing, Gina Bruton said in a previous interview. The caller reported Anna had a crescent-shaped cut under her left eye. She didn't have that before. The caller did not say when they saw Anna Bruton. Vernon Bruton discovered Anna's lightly colored open-front sweater in the woods on March 14th, which Blankenship identified as hers. Her cigarettes were in a sweater pocket. As the Brutons spent countless hours searching for their daughter, Vernon's health started to decline. My husband was in poor health before Anna went missing, Gina Bruton said Tuesday, March 31st. His health is steadily declining, and I'm afraid to think of what might happen if we don't find her soon. The Texas Rangers were pulled in to help the investigation, which is ongoing. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard-Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.